So, Whiskey Congress is back, part two of our Super Bowl Sunday show. Only this time...
Guess what?
Steven in the house!
I'm in the building. In the building. You know, technology is amazing, but so are cars.
Yeah.
anyway, but my kid's safe, so it's all good.
Right.
Jumping, you know, last thing we were talking about was Chief Wahoo.
Talked about our Super Bowl bet and Janet, right. Oh, yeah, Janet Jackson.
Right. I guess a little bit more about Janet Jackson on that, and then we could wrap that up. I think that, you know, you and I just talked about this standing in your kitchen, but like, it's doing Janet Jackson a huge, I think she's, it's working more in her favor by not going to the show. I think that people don't remember how, you know, she got a huge amount of grief and, you know, flack from the FCC and the NFL and, you know, the conservative people, you know, conservative moms of America, like, lost their shit on Janet Jackson. There were a lot of people who came out who unleashed the claws on her. We still don't know exactly what happened. Like, allegedly, she was supposed to have some sort of bra on, and he says wardrobe malfunction and blah, 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 blah. I think she felt that he had left her out to dry a little bit early on. I do know that they've made amends. At least from what I've read, they've made amends. But I think that Janet Jackson is looking at this and saying, why would I even put myself out there? Why would I risk any sort of negative publicity to go along with this, any sort of backlash? You know, given the year the NFL has had, the NFL is looking at this as, you know, if we can get Justin Timberlake out there and Janet Jackson and they don't do anything controversial, but everything is good, everyone will talk about that. It won't be about race and flags and veterans and all that other stuff. So this could work out. And I think she's looking at it saying, screw you. Like, you guys screwed me. My career is fine. I'm on tour. I look great. I just had a kid. I'm good.
Right. She doesn't need them. Right. And they don't need her.
Mm-hmm.
But any repair to the whole, why does he get back in the game and she doesn't, helps the NFL. It didn't help her at all. She doesn't need shit.
Right. I mean, it's not like this is going to skyrocket and boost her career, you know?
Yeah, Janet's really hurting without this.
No, I think she's fine. So, yeah. I mean, I
by the way, have you heard the thing about Pink having the flu and might not be able to do the national anthem? Yeah, she tweeted out that she was going to do her best. And
come on,
and,
Alicia, you can do it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Come on, Alicia, you do it for the team. I didn't
know she's a huge Eagles fan.
Yeah, she's from Philly, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know her history until recently.
She went to high school with guys that I played football with.
Is that right?
They all went to I don't think she went to Central Bucks West, but they were all in this, like, clique together. She was a heavy and maybe not anymore, but a heavy smoker, which is kind of interesting given, you know, her voice and her range. But yeah, I'm a big Pink fan. I always was just attracted. I mean, she's just little and feisty and
but athletic, and right? Cute. I mean, she does some ridiculous shit,
crazy acrobatics at her shows
while singing at an incredible level.
Yeah, I mean, and she is not the lip sync type, so it's I've always been a big fan.
Her performance apparently is at risk, and I hope.
Yeah, I hope she does. I mean, because she's got a phenomenal voice aside from, you know, all the aesthetics and everything else. So you know, that would be. That would be a shame. And then what do you do? I mean, if you're
I'm sure they have a backup. I'm sure they do.
Plan. I mean, it's probably
whoever is that backup plan is probably thinking, I make history if this happens. So she's gonna
I doubt it's a
person, Tanya Harding.
Pink, well, if you I doubt it's a person singing. Right? It's probably more. It'd probably be like a band playing. Like,
I have I have no idea.
Someone playing it like instrumentally. Right, I would imagine.
I have no idea. It is such a, you know, I was thinking about this earlier and talking to a friend about.
Find out.
We will. Hopefully, we don't. Hopefully, she. I mean, they're going to pump her throat full of steroids and be good. Do not.
Whoa.
They are going to treat her medically to the point where
they're
going to
pump her throat full of what?
And truthfully, she's got to perform for 2 minutes. So
yeah, if she can,
you know, power through that. She'll be okay, but it's tough. I mean, it's also a moment where if you, you know, kill it, you're Whitney Houston. I mean, again, not that Whitney Houston needed the Super Bowl 25 anthem to make her career, but people still talk about it. I still talk about it. It was amazing. And if you fuck it up, like, was it Christina Aguilera? Who's the one who, like, skipped a word and apparently had something wrong with her feedback? And I can sympathize with that because we used to have latency issues with our setup.
It does screw you up.
It does. But anyway, that was, you know, a thing that dogged her for a while. And I do want to talk about the Super Bowl more, and I want to talk about the Hall of Fame. But before we get back into football, we were together having a beer the other day, and the whole Russell Westbrook thing happened. Now, if you don't know what happened, a fan came onto the floor, confronted Russell Westbrook, and he shoved the guy. He gave him a good stiff arm and backed him away. And I had not seen it until I was in a bar with you, and I saw it, and I had heard a bunch of controversy about it. And I saw it, and I'm like, I have no problem with what he did. Well, I mean,
the guy comes onto the court and then is like screaming in Russell Westbrook's face, and Russell Westbrook is like, well, who, like, back
right.
up, man?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And you know, I mean, people are saying, oh, Russell Westbrook's going to get fined. He's going to get suspended. Like, no.
Thankfully, they did.
The NBA handled this the right way. You know, they didn't. Russell Westbrook was protecting himself. I mean, shame on security for letting that guy get to where he got to. I gave
him a bit of a break because he was like from the front row. So
right, like, I mean,
you don't tackle a guy immediately, or do you? Maybe you should.
But if you don't know, I mean, you know, we just talked about a cop who was overzealous,
right?
You know, who, you know, throws this girl out.
Where was that guy?
You know, exactly. I mean, like, maybe this is what he should be doing. Maybe he should be working at the queue. But I have an issue with because in this current political climate, right? I mean, you have these very rich black athletes. Obviously, there's an issue that, you know, the MAGA crowd have with rich black athletes, right? They're just not thankful enough. And so in this sort of climate, like, that could have been a lot worse.
You know, geez.
I mean, like, you know, no, he's not going to have a weapon, but what if that guy, you know, charges?
You don't necessarily know that.
Right. I mean, but I mean, it's hard to get into a stadium with a weapon.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I just, if that guy goes and let's say he goes and you know, blows out, you know, kicks him in the knee or something like that.
Sucker punches him.
Well, I mean, you know, just trying to injure him because it's like, oh, you're an ungrateful athlete and you don't deserve this. So I'm going to bring harm to you and hurt your career. You know, you have no idea what's on people's minds. And not that, you know, these guys need any sort of additional protection above and beyond, but you don't want to see something like that happen on national TV. Like, that would be bad for everybody, for the NBA, bad for society.
Look at years ago, Monica Seles got stabbed on a tennis court.
Exactly. I mean, and I remember her career.
Oh, right. Dramatically. Well, essentially, I don't want to say it ended her career, but
she wasn't very competitive after that. And a lot of it was, part of it was the injury, and then I think part of it mentally
was
her
huge.
Fear,
yeah,
of that. I mean, and that's just a horrible thing. And that's an extreme case, but I mean, that's something that you have to be wary of. And here's the other thing too. I think everybody is really, you know, you got a lot of armchair quarterbacks, and people are really bold about, oh, you know, you got all the guys who would play in the NFL for free, and, you know, these guys are so disrespectful, and they should all take pay cuts, and, you know, oh, I would knock this guy out, and blah, all the Tommy Toughnuts that are out there. But, you know, you go to an NBA game or you go to an NFL game, and everybody's all big and bad and tough, and then you see these guys in person. You see a Russell Westbrook in person, face-to-face, and you start to think twice. And the problem is, if you don't, right, like, you think, like, listen, these guys are pampered athletes now, but most of these guys come from places that most people, you know, most NBA fans don't deal with.
Don't want to spend much time in.
Neighborhoods that they wouldn't drive through with their windows down. So, I mean, they wouldn't drive through with their windows up and the doors locked, National Lampoon's Vacation. So,
okay, kids, roll them up.
Right. Like, so if you want to, you want to go to face-to-face and toe-to-toe with these guys because you think they're pampered athletes? All right. You know, I mean, now, you know, you may be some military guy like Mike Wood. Oh, well, I'm a tactical trained officer. Okay, well, that's you. But, I mean, that's a small percentage of the population. Most, you know, most average Joe, you know, 40-something-year-old guys who, you know, they, you know, oh, well, I did push-ups and I did 225 seven times. So it's just like, all right, well, You take your chances with Russell Westbrook if you like, and see where that gets you.
But I think the bigger picture is there was a lot of critique of Westbrook for he shoved a fan. No, he separated a douchebag who got in his face from his physical self in a very reasonable and non-dangerous manner. And when I watched it, and so like I said, I had heard of the description of it, and then I watched it. I'm like, he basically stiff-armed a guy, like, back the fuck up.
Yep.
And if he would have followed that with an overhand right, I probably wouldn't have been. I'm not saying that would have been the right thing for him to do, but I would not have said, you know, that was crazy, because someone jumps in your face and you don't know what's going on. You know, it's not like this guy was, hey, bro, how you doing? It was.
Right. I mean, he's screaming in his face. Right. Now, I mean, listen, screaming in your someone screaming in my face isn't a reason for me to necessarily knock them out.
Right.
But you catch someone at the wrong time, and that could get you knocked out.
If you're representing a physical threat, like you said, we talked in the first half of our show about, you know, the cop who had this girl yapping in his face. She was not a physical threat to him.
Right.
This was a grown man. I mean, you're right. If you do the Vegas odds on who wins that altercation, money's on Russell Westbrook, but he doesn't know.
Right.
And he did nothing wrong. I was really glad. It was funny. We were talking about this at the bar. And then while we were talking about it, the scroll was NBA will not discipline Russell Westbrook, and we're both like, "Oh, good."
Yeah, I mean, well, because that would have made that situation blown it out of proportion.
You know what would have been terrible if they had suspended him for a game? Yeah. That would have encouraged idiots to like run at LeBron,
exactly.
Run at you know the guy on the team you want to lose. If I can get in Kyrie Irving's face and get shoved and get him suspended for 3 games, that would open the door for the idiots,
right? And so, I mean, this is where. You know, I don't think the NFL would have handled this appropriately. The NFL would have had an investigation, and it would have lasted a while, and then they would have suspended him.
In 2020, they would
suspend the player, and then the player would appeal, and then the guy, he'd be suspended for a half and have to pay a weird fine, and then there'd be all sorts of protests. Like, the NFL fucks this up all the time.
True.
NBA is just like, all right, like, stupid.
Done.
Who let him on, you're fired. And Russell Westbrook...
Be careful.
Do what you do.
Be careful.
Right. Like, go dunk on somebody and you know, issue over resolved. So that worked itself out. And enough of basketball, because the Cavs are fucking terrible. So let's go on to a sport that I would like to talk
about. The Super Bowl is happening today. It is literally about an hour and a half, 2 hours from kickoff. You want to do predictions first?
I also want to talk about
the Hall of Fame class, because there's some really
Let's start with the Hall of Fame class. Let's start there.
So, amongst the notable people in the Hall of Fame class, I mean, Brian Dawkins got in.
Randy Moss. Ray Lewis.
And Terrell Owens.
Yep.
And there were four or five others.
Brian Urlacher.
Oh, you know what? It's hard for me to get my head around the fact that he's been out of the league for 5 years.
Yeah, he had kind of an unceremonious
neck injury, right?
Well, I mean, he just retired. Like, I mean, it was just like, well, you know, you've lost a couple steps. You're not the same player you were. We're not really going to bring you back. So he, instead of going to another team, he just retired.
Basically what Jim Kelly did with the Bills. I mean, I'm associated with this team. If I'm not coming back to this team, I'll just hang him up.
Right. And I think there was some talk of him wanting to kind of preserve his body to a certain extent. And so he did have
a neck injury in his second to last year or something.
Right. He probably did the smart move. But, yeah, it was a good class. I mean, there's some controversy in the class, though, with Randy Moss, Terrell Owens.
And Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis on the field, you can't deny. Obviously, there's the issues with... You know, the whole thing that happened with him and the murder allegations.
The murder allegations,
the time he spent in jail. I don't really want to go through all that.
Did he spend any time in jail? He did not. Not because of that.
Yeah, no. I remember he was in jail during the lead up to.
Okay, the trial. Right, and then he ultimately, stuff. You know,
he testified
for the state, took a plea deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could go through that, but then I'll go all OJ on you. And I would much rather talk about the two wide receivers, Terrell Owens and Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the field, on field production, those two are I'd say in the top five of all time, hands down. I mean,
well, statistically,
yeah. Well, statistically, it's funny because the game has changed. So the numbers for wide receivers of the like 70s and 80s aren't fair to compare to the next generation.
Right. But
however,
the game has changed, and Terrell Owens and Randy Moss are still, you know, top five.
Randy Moss number one all time for you? Or T.O.? It's tough to jump Jerry Rice. It's really tough to jump Jerry Rice.
Right. I mean, it's hard to jump Jerry Rice because Jerry Rice was so good for so long between the 49ers and the Ravens. Raiders. You know, just highly productive. I mean, and it was just a perfect
duration,
passage.
Yes.
Right. And I don't know. And if you consider the like that time frame that Jerry Rice played.
He literally bridges the gap, right? Mm-hmm. He's from that old era where receivers didn't put up numbers up to Moss and so I didn't have
I was a big T.O. fan.
Okay.
I was a huge T.O. fan. And I liked Randy. Actually, I liked them both a lot. I think that the football historian in me says Randy Moss, but I enjoyed watching T.O. or I'm sorry. The football historian in me says Jerry Rice.
Right.
As the number one receiver, but I just enjoyed watching Randy Moss more and watching T.O. more than Jerry Rice. You know, Jerry Rice was methodical. It was, you know, the
perfect route running.
Right. It was all that. It was great.
Played faster than you would think, and
all that
phenomenal
stuff.
Hands.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. But I mean, Randy Moss just over the top, running past people, jumping over people. It was great. I mean, T.O. was just he was just bigger and stronger than, you know, almost anybody else that he was going to go up against. T.O., you know, should have been Super Bowl MVP had the Eagles won, had they beat
with
the
broken
Patriots.
Leg. With a broken leg, he put up ridiculous
right,
numbers.
I mean, Roy Williams from the Cowboys does a horse collar tackle against T.O., basically snaps his leg. Towards the end of the regular season, T.O. rehabs like crazy, signs a waiver that if he gets injured playing, that he won't sue the team or whatever, goes out and is the best player on the field, period. Almost single-handedly keeps Philadelphia in the game. Donovan McNabb threw like three interceptions in that game. And then, you know, there's the whole thing with Donovan McNabb like throwing up towards the, you know,
right,
that final drive and all that other shit. But I just really enjoyed watching T.O. play. Now, T.O. was a dick in the media towards, like, when, you know, in the middle when, you know, he's trying to get out of Philly and contracts.
Well, trying to get out of San Francisco, and he called Jeff Garcia, basically said Jeff Garcia is gay.
Right, and all that. And I mean, so the media didn't like him because people in the media didn't like him. I don't know why the media didn't like him because
Here's the thing I got to say, because I have a huge beef with Skip Bayless because of how he treated Terrell Owens. And I have a somewhat rare perspective, because Terrell Owens was in Dallas. Skip Bayless, who I've called out many times on the show, I have no respect for, because he would say things about T.O. And when I said I had kind of a rare perspective, I was laid off from my job while living in Buffalo, New York, the year T.O. played in Buffalo. And because I was not working, I had the luxury of sleeping in and turning on sports radio on Monday mornings after Bills games and listening to live coverage of Bills post games. And the first game, Trent Edwards was the Bills quarterback at the time, and the Bills lost a game, and their offense was not great. And the media asked T.O., you know, do you think Trent left some plays out there? And T.O.'s response was this, and I'm going to paraphrase, obviously, but his response was, yeah, Trent, you know, missed some plays out there, and we all did, and we're going to work together as an offense, and, you know, we'll get better. And then Skip Bayless comes on. I think the show was called First Take at the time, and he comes on to his show and says, here's T.O., team obliterator, again, throwing his quarterback under the bus in week one, saying Trent left plays out there, which he did use those words, but in the full context, he was asked a question. He answered it like a professional, and he got treated like a diva who was blowing up a locker room. And that totally made me rethink how athletes are portrayed in the media. Because I got to hear what was said from his mouth in totality, and then what Skip Bayless said, and Skip Bayless with an ESPN TV and radio audience had a hell of a lot more than what got heard, you know, in the local Buffalo market. And I lost any respect for Skip Bayless. That's why I love Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman blew up Skip Bayless years later, and I loved it.
Well, I agree with you. Just paying attention to what athletes say can take you down a couple different roads. Sometimes these guys, some of these guys get touted as being very profound, and when you actually listen to them, it's just like, no, this guy's a dunce. and then other guys are actually profound, and they're saying things of value. And other guys, they're not either. They're just kind of stating like factual, like this, right. In this particular instance, T.O.'s biggest issue was that he was very honest. I think that it kind of, for a little while, it turned into a persona. But
I mean, the showboating stuff, right? Yeah, the Sharpie.
But aside from that, I didn't care about people. People made a big deal about it and, you know, lost their minds. And we can go into the whole
Monday Night Football thing.
There's a whole element there. But I think one of T.O.'s big things was just in interviews, you ask him about what happened, he would tell you. He just said, like, you know, I thought I should have got the ball more. And if you go back and you watch the game, it's just like, all right, well, T.O. is T.O. and he's wide open, like, throwing the fucking ball. Like, why are you trying to force feed the ball to fucking Freddie Mitchell? Throw the ball to fucking T.O. Like, let's have some common sense here. And things like that where he's just giving honest, open analysis of his view of the game on the field would be taken to, you know, Skip Bayless goes to Team Obliterator and Trey Wingo would, you know, throw his two cents. Now, that's not the Patriot way because, you know, God forbid anybody in football does anything not the way the Patriots do it, then, you know, there's a contingent at ESPN that, like, loses their mind, right? Like, the Patriot way is the only way.
Right.
Which is hard to argue
Randy Moss then comes into discussion.
Well, exactly, you know. And so, but I think there is this thing that happens in the media where people hear exactly what these athletes say and they take the snippets and they form these different, it's hard to say, but they, you know, like Skip Bayless, what he did there,
he had a vendetta. Skip Bayless and T.O. had a vendetta dating back to their mutual days in Dallas.
Yeah, but and I he, think, yeah.
That's why I hate Skip Bayless.
Well, yeah, but Skip Bayless had been doing that. I mean, Skip Bayless looked at a guy like T.O. and said, I can use you to my advantage, right? Like, I'm going to sit back after the fact, wait for you to say something, and then I'm going to manipulate it and manipulate it into something that I can use.
Into ratings.
Right, exactly, that's what he did. And, you know, and to a degree, it's somewhat harmless.
I disagree with that.
It's somewhat harmless because we're talking about sports.
Fair.
Now, I think that there's a racial component to it that you can't necessarily ignore, because Skip Bayless isn't necessarily he only attacks black athletes this way. He doesn't really attack. I mean, and I think that matters because it doesn't so much matter on the Skip Bayless, Terrell Owens level, but then when you, again, filter down to the people who are listening to this and watching this, like, they see a guy like T.O. who's flamboyant, and then Skip Bayless says what he says, and people take that, and then all of a sudden it breaks down.
It's not necessarily that Skip Bayless is being racist, it's just he's fueling that
He's fueling that thought process, and he's doing it intentionally. It's similar to Donald Trump. I've said for the longest time, is Donald Trump a racist in the fact that he thinks that white people are better than black people? I don't know. Maybe. Probably not. But is he an elitist? Absolutely. Is he taking advantage of what he can see or what anyone should be able to see is a weakness in American culture and flaming the fans of it? Like knowing that you don't have to come out and, you know, because today
you have to wear a hood, just
right? Like, because today the conservative thought process with racism is you can call me a racist, but I'm not a racist because, you know, I'm not in the Klan and I don't have a swastika. You know, I mean, like, that's pretty much like people's defense now. It's just like racism. Like, you can't use that term because it's overused. And like, I'm not a racist because I'm not in the Klan and I'm not a white supremacist. And, you know, like, those people are terrible. But it's just like, all right, well
I mean, in reality, there are people who throw that term out there so loosely that. Well, exactly. dilute the term.
It does dilute the term. And so to Donald Trump and to Skip Bayless, they're very well aware of this. And they fan the flames, right? They put it out there. Are they themselves racist? No, but they know that people are fucking idiots, so they just use it to their advantage, right? And there's some racist elements in there,
yeah,
right? And I think that, you know,
I'll people, go racial is what
racial,
I would call
right,
it.
Right, racial elements in there. And I think that people take the bait. You know, I think Jemele Hill got caught up in that. I'm a big fan of hers, but I think that she did take the bait. She did get hooked. And, you know, he's a white supremacist and look at yeah. all these things. And it's just like, you have to look deeper at it, right? And it's still dangerous what they're doing. So I shouldn't say that, you know, what Skip Bayless isn't dangerous, because it is. But I think it's magnified when you look at a guy like a Donald Trump, because,
sure.
you know, because if you look at how
the platform
that he has and the number of people that it's going to impact and affect.
So yeah, I mean, for me, numbers standpoint, everyone who got into the Hall of Fame deserved it. I want to focus on T.O. and Moss, because in different ways they were controversial, but yet if you can't acknowledge that these are amongst the best all time of their positions, who did nothing substantially wrong. I mean, Moss had the weird thing with the traffic cop in Minnesota where a ticket, a mirror maid tried to give him a ticket and he ultimately like drove his car with her on the hood.
He bumped her a little bit. Right. Which, I mean,
he got fined 10 grand and paid for it in quote, straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. which was
sorry,
I remember what I'm like, wow.
I'm sorry, it's funny.
I can't even be mad at
you
it.
You know what I love about Randy Moss, though? 30 for 30 did a thing called Rand University, mm-hmm. and it really highlights a lot about race in America. I mean, so Randy Moss had a very, and I won't try to tell the whole story, it'll take forever, but he had an amazing high school career, a very bizarre college career where he gets into and kicked out of both Florida State and Notre Dame before ending up at Marshall. Luckily for him,
like he got into and kicked out of Notre Dame before he actually went to Notre Dame.
That's right. That's right. And then
I don't know.
Yeah, getting kicked out of Florida State in those days was a challenge. I mean, you had to work to do that.
Yeah, I mean,
man, and I'm not saying he deserved it. I'm saying it was a fight where he kicked the shit out of somebody, I think, and he had a marijuana arrest.
Well, so the Notre Dame thing was the fight, and he was the fight. He got, I think, he was set up.
Yeah, he was. Watch Rand University.
When you watch it, he was clearly set up for this whole thing. That's what gets him kicked out of Notre Dame, and I can understand that. I do. Like, I mean, you know, Notre Dame's not going to do a deep investigation and figure out, oh,
they'll protect their image, right?
Like, I mean, I get it.
You get it all too well because you were recruited by them. I was going to, sorry, but it's worthy of putting out there. You've seen this in personal, and I'll stop there.
Bob Davey, if I see you in the street, I will fight you to the death.
I didn't mean for it to go there, but fair. I mean, I know the inside story,
right.
And yeah, I'd be furious if I were you.
So
I'm mad for you, and I didn't know the story until 2 years ago.
Right. So there's that. But with Florida State, what was fucked up was that he gets the marijuana charge, and you know Bobby Bowden basically bails on him, and you know going to the Bobby Bowden just makes it seem like it was a hard choice, but I had to do what was best for the team. And you go back and you look at some of the guys that he went to bat for,
yeah.
and you're like, okay, I don't know if I buy this, but sure. You know, like people gave
such a big flag over Randy Moss at the time that it happened.
I guess, but I mean, again, still some of the people that you know Bobby Bowden went to bat for, it's just like, all right, fine. You know, and he gets the benefit of the doubt because he's just got that aw shucks Southern boy.
I mean, they call him St. Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, and I get it, but he did have that bizarre sort of, you know, the just trying to get somewhere. He ends up at Marshall. And, you know, has an amazing... I remember him at Marshall because at the time...
You do or don't?
I do.
Okay, so do I. Because
he was at Marshall... At the time, Marshall was still...
1AA.
1AA, and they were playing against Youngstown State.
Oh.
And I'm, you know, obviously being from Youngstown, like watching... I think there was a playoff game where Marshall played... It wasn't a national championship game, but Marshall played Youngstown State... In the playoffs, Randy Ma, and he just, it was, it
man,
wasn't,
man amongst boys,
yeah,
I'm
it
guessing.
It was just stupid. I mean, and his career at Marshall, it really highlighted the fact that there was some amazing talent on the 1AA level, and like that this could happen.
Right,
because then like
his quarterback was Chad Pennington, who would play like 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah, and so then he gets into the league, and then he has this amazing career himself. And I loved watching him play when he was with the Vikings. It was him and Chris Carter, Dante Culpepper would do the role thing when he was. I mean, it's just like you wish that that could have just stayed intact. You know,
what an interesting trio too, right? You had Dante Culpepper out of Central Florida,
right?
Who had an arm that was just cannon. Sick.
Right. Like him and Randy Moss were made for each other.
Yes. Because
Randy Moss could just run past anybody, jump over anybody.
Right.
And Culpepper could just throw it a fucking country mile.
And then you've got Chris Carter, the veteran who had had some serious issues as a young player and nearly partied himself out of football, maybe out of life.
Out of life. Like, he definitely had some almost near-death experiences and everything else. And now, you know,
he gets the shit together.
Right.
And he's now a spokesperson for how to not fuck up like I almost did.
Now he's gone a little.
Well, he's done that.
He's overcompensating.
He has.
Right. Like, I mean, now he is the ultimate, like, you
have
know, company
guy,
man.
Have a fall guy lined up for you so you don't. Yes.
Jesus Christ,
but you know what? But seriously.
But no, you're right. I mean, it was such a great combination of watching him play. I mean, Robert Smith was a running back there. It sucked that they, weren't able
to
accomplish
quite get there.
More.
Didn't quite get there, yeah.
But. Amazingly fun to watch. And then he goes to the Raiders. It was a time when the Raiders organization was just a mess. Al Davis kind of had screwed the team up a little bit. And Randy just Randy was a unique guy. Like, he needed motivation. You couldn't just say, Randy, go out there and play and be, the type of coach that they're like, well, I'm just going to yell at you until you do it. Like, Randy didn't respond to that. And then obviously fans didn't respond well to, Randy's, lack of motivation. He got attacked. And then he ends up with the Patriots, where the Patriots were just kind of on a roll. They had, Corey Dillon was this, trouble guy down in Cincinnati. And then he gets to the Patriots and bam, model player, and they win a Super Bowl. Randy Moss is, everyone's just like,
whoa. I want to say he set the record for single season touchdown receptions. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
But if he didn't, the Bills were not the reason why, because I think he had three in the first half against the Bills. They might have had three in the first quarter against the Bills one year. It was horrible.
Him and Tom Brady together, I mean, it was unbelievable. And then what made it even more bizarre was just that the fact that they lost
to the Giants
in the Super Bowl. But it was a great game, so it is possible to beat them. But
spoiler alert, we'll be talking about that soon.
Right, but I did love watching them play. Like I said, I love Randy. I love T.O. I really enjoyed them as receivers. I think that because the way the NFL has changed, they will be surpassed. Their numbers will both be surpassed. I mean, Antonio Brown and Julio Jones right now are on, this crazy
and Antonio
run.
Brown is kind of like a weird hybrid of Randy Moss and Jerry Rice, because he's basically physically like Jerry Rice, but he's more athletic, and his ability to catch weird passes. I mean,
he's actually nothing like Randy Moss.
I just mean in terms of, he's athletic as fuck. I mean,
Randy Moss was a unique physical monster.
I mean,
tall, long, lean, and like just lightning
super
fast.
Yes.
Antonio Brown is
More like Jerry Rice.
Right. He's smaller than Jerry Rice. He's very quick, has amazing hands, just an amazing route running ability to just always get himself open. And so I think he will eventually surpass both of them the way that they're going right now.
Numerically, yes.
Yeah. Numerically.
Or maybe professionally, but I'm saying.
Yeah, because how many times this year alone did you say, oh my God, Antonio Brown, what the hell are you doing?
Several, and I don't watch Steelers games.
Right.
So, I mean, the only reason I'd watch a Steelers game.
Even in that Jacksonville game, as miserable as it was the way they lost, Antonio Brown had two of them were for touchdowns. Like, two just ridiculous catches where you're just like, where I was just like, Ben, what the fuck are you doing? And he basically was just like, I'm throwing it to Antonio Brown.
Right.
Watch him work. And he did.
Exactly. What are you? Okay, great. Like, you actually literally
did that.
You did that. You're like, what the fuck are you? Touchdown!
Yes. That was, quote, Steve.
Yes, maybe slightly paraphrased, but there were more fucks in the whole conversation.
Right.
All right, so we ready for Super Bowl predictions?
Yes.
Steve, what's your prediction?
Pain.
I said that up for you. You're welcome.
God, I hope people get that Rocky III over. If you don't, then stop listening. Just don't listen to our show ever again. Ever. We don't want you as a listener. No, kidding.
That's
kidding,
not
kidding.
True. We still love you. Everybody.
So, I mean, I feel like this is a game that actually Philadelphia can win. And I think that Philadelphia can win this game by 10. Right?
Okay.
I feel that Philadelphia can win this game by 10. And people are going to say, well, Nick Foles is the quarterback and he's a backup. But Nick Foles is not just a backup
not
quarterback.
Not a typical backup, right?
He's won multiple games in the league. I mean, he's had, I think he set the record for completion percentage. He's played in big games before. He's been in the league for an extended period of time. The question is, will this game, the Super Bowl, will it be too much for him? That I don't know. But I feel this is a game that on paper, Philadelphia can win by 10. Now, that being said, on the other side is Tom Brady, right? That's all I care about. The rest, everybody else, I don't care about. It's Tom Brady, and he's got Gronk. And ultimately, the Patriots always find a way. Now, there's some different dynamics here. The defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, I think he's gone. He's going to be coaching somewhere else. I think he's going to Detroit maybe. I think that the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, is going to Indianapolis. There could be a chance for some distraction there. I doubt it. But
yeah, I would say if you're cutting a distraction, you're going to be disappointed.
I think ultimately it's a close game because it always is with the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm going to go Eagles by 3.
All right, so I'm going to go with the Eagles as well, but this is based on bias. Based on bias. I hate the fucking Patriots. You know it. I know it. I'm going 24-23 Eagles. My concern is,
how the fuck are you going to get to 24-23? Like, do you know the probability of that number happening? Not good.
23 is
not good.
3 field goals and 2 touchdowns.
Not good.
And 3 touchdowns and 1 field goal is 24. So we can do math all you want. But my big issue is,
fuck your math.
Fuck your math. I figured out how to get a cork into a rabbit hole bottle. Don't fuck with me.
You mean you figured out how? You didn't figure out anything. I had to walk you through it.
You didn't walk me through it, but anyway. But it was embarrassing as I fumbled through it while you weren't here. Anyway, my concern is that I've heard rumors that the Eagles locker room is like struggling with the flu, and anytime you've got a team that's physically compromised,
let's go back.
All right.
I'm predicting that the Eagles win this game by 3, and the reason is that I think that the Eagles' defense is better than the Patriots' defense. I feel that with the Eagles' defense being better than the Patriots' defense, I think that once all the nerves are settled, like, the Patriots' biggest threat is Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
Now, the Eagles
have Malcolm Jenkins.
And they have the ability to cover him. And the Eagles have recently beaten the New England Patriots. Now,
last year,
yeah,
it wasn't this year.
Yeah. Oh wait.
No, the AFC.
Are you sure they didn't beat them this year?
Positive, because the AFC South played the NFC South played the AFC East this year. Bills fan, trust me, we beat Atlanta. We lost Carolina. We got smoked by the Saints.
Okay. All right. So, but what I'm saying is, I think that when you break it down, just from a football perspective, looking at that Eagles team, I think they match up well against the Patriots. I think that they have the firepower necessary to beat them. I think that the Eagles defense can hang with the Patriots offense. They're not going to get their doors blown off. Jim Schwartz knows Belichick, who's the defensive coordinator for the Eagles.
I love Jim Schwartz.
Right. I mean,
the Bills defensive coordinator,
right, and
put together
a phenomenal
job. Beat up on the Patriots.
Right. I mean, he knows what they're going to do.
We didn't win, but it wasn't because of the defense.
And they have smart players that aren't going to be intimidated by the Patriots. And then you go to the offense, and yes, it's Nick Foles at quarterback, but Nick Foles is just not, it's not like he's Brian Hoyer, right? And I like Brian Hoyer as a person, but Brian Hoyer isn't, you know, a dynamic passer, and he's been given multiple opportunities and done so. Nick Foles has been given those same opportunities and done pretty damn good. And I think that Nick Foles in this situation where he's got multiple options. He's got Zach Ertz is a hell of a tight end.
He is.
Who, you know, was, you know, him and Gronkowski were back and forth in terms of number one and two tight ends in the league. And I think Ertz might have edged him out in terms of yards and receptions. You also have multiple receivers over there in Philly in Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, and even Torrey Smith.
Nelson Aguilar is one of the guys who was, like, questionable because of the flu.
Right.
And that concerns me.
It kind of does, and we'll see. I mean, if that's the case, then all right, advantage Patriots. But, you know, like you've got three dangerous receivers there between Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, and Torrey Smith. You've got a running game. You've got Blunt, right? LeGarrette Blunt, who played for the Patriots.
Right.
You have they ended up getting what's his name from down in Miami.
Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, Jay Ajayi, and like those guys can run. And the Patriots defense is not good at stopping the run. Right, I mean, so there's some things there that point that point to saying
you know I want this
right,
I'm not giving up on it. I'm just right, I'm concerned that when a team has got like a physical ailment, if it is rampant, and I don't know that it is, that is such a huge detriment. If you're a step slow at that level, you're fucked, and that's my concern.
It depends on what I mean. Listen, having been an athlete at a high level, I've played in all sorts of different conditions, and it really, some of it is mental, and you deal with the flu, you deal with self-inflicted pain, like playing hungover, which
you never did, I'm sure, because you're not that kind of guy, Steve.
But you would be amazed at what you can get your body to do.
True. I mean, right? Jordan famously played through a game where he had the flu, right. And they pumped him full of IV fluids, and he kicked ass.
Even you go to Calvin Hill, you know, that game he played for the Chargers against
you mean Kellen Winslow?
I'm sorry, Kellen Winslow. I got wrong athletes.
Calvin
dad.
Hill's exactly.
Hill's dad. Right. Kellen Winslow.
Wrong
is
guy
Winslow's,
with a two.
Sorry, wrong right, tight right, yeah. end whose son was right, also right. an amazing athlete.
Kellen Winslow, yes.
But, you know, like Kellen Winslow plays that amazing game, and his wasn't the flu, but, I mean, by the end of the game, he was exhausted, but he still had, you know, he was still playing at a level above everybody else. So I think that don't get so caught up in that, because where we are from a medical technology standpoint, you know, we have all sorts of ways to get, like, you get the flu, and you just have to deal with it. They get the
right.
flu.
They get doctors, or doctor, full of steroids, right. IVs, whatever. Yes,
all that stuff.
True.
So be careful with the steroids, though, people. May take
I'm an anti-inflammatory steroids, but you're right.
Right.
It could be
people
it could
take
be
that the wrong
it could
way.
Be
so
misconstrued.
I'm predicting that the Eagles are, and I like Doug Peterson as a coach. He's just nice and even keeled. I think that he is the perfect fit for this type of game where he's not going to be intimidated by Belichick. You know, as a Steeler fan, I see Mike Tomlin, who Belichick's in Tomlin's head. You know, I as good as Tomlin is, I think that Belichick is in Tomlin's head. Where Peterson, I don't think Belichick, like, Peterson just doesn't give a fuck. You know, like, he is just cool and even-tempered no matter what. He hasn't been doing it long enough to care. I mean, Tomlin is at a point where now we're talking about a legacy Hall of Fame type of coach when you look at his record. And that starts to play into it a little bit. And, you know, Doug Peterson is a little bit different, right? This is only his second year, and he really wasn't supposed to be that good of a coach, and he wasn't that good of a quarterback, and he's got this young, dumb kid in Carson Wentz who's, you know, playing outside of his skill set, and then and then he brings in this Nick Foles kid, and now he's got to I feel like Doug Peterson's just like, all right, now I got another dumb kid that I got to get ready to go, all right, kid. And I think that type of mentality is the type of mentality that's going to – that beats Belichick.
And if you look at – so Belichick's history, and I could go into the whole fact that if Pete Carroll and last year's Falcons team don't make really dumb decisions late in games, they lose two more Super Bowls than they've won. But that notwithstanding, the
– Well, what I will say is Belichick and company have won a couple Super Bowls on intimidation and just the fact of them being who they were, where the other team's asshole puckered. And they just did stupid things just because they were facing the Patriots, where if it weren't the Patriots, if they were playing any other team, if the Falcons had been playing the Colts in the Super Bowl, or if the Seahawks were playing you know, the Raiders in the Super Bowl, then chances are they turn around and they hand it to Marshawn Lynch, you know, or, you know, the Falcons turn around and they run the ball the rest of the game instead of trying to, you know, throw it against Tom Brady. You know what I mean?
Think the brilliant guy. Maybe. But the truth is, those two coaches made those decisions, and ultimately games that should have been lost end up being won.
Right.
And you know.
And I don't think Doug Peterson is that guy.
I don't know him well enough, but I'll hope for that. And I do think that the teams that have beaten the Patriots in the Super Bowl, particularly the two Giants teams, were able to get to the quarterback with four. And they
and the Eagles
have a
sure.
D. So I texted my buddy Dave from Philly and said, you know, hey, what's your pass rush like? And he said something that caught my interest. He said, you know, our pass rush is great, best in the league, and Chris Long has something to prove here, because Chris Long was a Patriot last year. He's an Eagle this year. He's been tearing it up. And if he can, you know, get to Brady a little bit with seven guys dropping to cover, maybe they can make some plays. And Tom Brady is not immune to bad plays. I mean, he does put the ball in the air very aggressively.
If you pressure him and you get to him, he makes bad plays.
Right, which so does every quarterback, right?
Ben Roethlisberger.
He does it without the pressure.
Well, no, Ben Roethlisberger, like, you don't pressure him. He'll do something really stupid. But he, like, Ben Roethlisberger, like, all time, like, under pressure, has one of the best quarterback ratings of all time.
I don't doubt that.
Like, just because he's so fucking big.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just literally there's been plays where Terrell Suggs is hanging off of him, and Roethlisberger's just like, all right, I'm just going to.
But he's making a bad decision. It just happens to work out.
Well, and he's also throwing to Antonio Brown, who, you know, like, I mean, he's part of the reason why Ben Roethlisberger makes some of these dumb plays, because he's
faith
just
in receivers,
like,
yeah.
Tone will get it done.
And the truth is, the receivers on the Patriots, I mean, Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola, Brooks.
Cooks.
Brian Cooks. Devin Cooks.
Yeah.
The whiskey's caught
B
up.
B. Cooks.
Me. The whiskey has caught up to me, which probably means it's time to shut it down, so I don't have to have one of those meltdown
Jimmy
finishes.
Stroke face?
I will not go stroke face on you. is there anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No, it looks like we got the board covered. So we can go ahead and shut it down.
Let's see, the game's starting in about an hour.
Yep, game's starting in about an hour. So I guess, what are you doing for the game? Where are you watching it?
To be determined. I've got an hour to figure that out. All right, so anyway, we're both cheering for the Eagles. Thank you for listening. We are WhiskeyCongress.com. Please read our articles. Please follow us on YouTube and Facebook. We put a couple things out on YouTube recently. We're going to add a new segment called Punching Back, where we will look at slanted YouTube reporters and try to call them out for their dishonesty. And or honestly, I mean, we won't necessarily.
Guys, let's not get this twisted. This is going to be a therapy session for Jim.
Okay, fair. there's a few people in mind that I can't wait to call out, because
there's the people that he doesn't like, and then I think some of this will be directed at people that maybe we don't know from his high school days. Like, there's a lot
no,
of
fuck
I think there's some therapy session that's going to go. There's some girls here.
No,
but it'll be fun to watch.
It will be political, social, and logical, and people you've heard of. All right. Thanks for listening to Whiskey Congress Super Bowl Sunday Part 2. We're out.